Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day. Welcome back to another episode of RC Stuff powered by Hobbywing. As always, Charlie Sawenka here with Mr. Mike Chen. Mr. Chen, good day, sir.
Good day, Charlie. How you doing?
Fantastic. I just got back from the Snowbird Nationals. I got to spend a few days in Florida with Matty G, working at the Snowbirds. It's, I don't know, we've talked about this before, but it's a around-the-clock oval and on-road race. There's a fresh episode of The Charlie Show that has that ready for your viewing pleasure right now on the Hobbywing Official YouTube channel. That's the name of the channel, Hobbywing Official. So you can check some of that out right away. But a really good event. I got to chat with some folks I haven't seen in many, many years. Mike Boylan puts that event on. I got to hang out with Corey from Live Time, which is always a very good time. Got to see a bunch of old school racers that I haven't seen in years and years and years. So it was nice to catch up with everybody and spend a little bit of time, I guess, going over the old days and the way it used to be and how much it really hasn't changed all that much. So good times for sure at the Birds. This week, Mike and I, if you didn't know, work in the service department here at Hobbywing, and we often talk to folks about helpful tidbits of information, and something that's come up a lot lately has been usage of tuning devices on the XE Run series of speed controls, the racing stuff. And some of this does apply to the other speed controls in the lineup that are compatible with the HW-Link V2 app and the various Bluetooth connection devices that we have available. So what I made a list. It's very extensive. Mike and I are going to go down this list of connection app usage items and hopefully help enlighten everybody on the subtle nuances of using the various Bluetooth connection devices, either it be the OTA, the LCD Programming Box Pro, or the Tunalyzer Bluetooth connection to tune speed controls. So first and foremost is the phone's operating system. I'm not super good at knowing what numbers mean what. So let's just leave it at that, that you're going to want to make sure that your phone's updated. 99% of the time, that's been one of the if you have a weird issue that settings show up wrong, things are grayed out, stuff like that. Sometimes it's just that the phone is a couple versions behind, or maybe even just one version behind, and it makes some goofy stuff, connection stuff start to happen. I have even gone as far as to say after the update, kind of turn the phone on and off type of thing, just to make sure that the phone gets a good hard reset on all that. I get apprehensive here because there are times when the update makes it not work. So it can kind of go both ways a little bit. So I take that for what it's worth. But for me, 99% of the time, operating system update on the phone itself is the way to go. And that applies to iPhone and Android, like I said, most of the time. There recently has been a problem with the Android app, and that's all been fixed now. As far as I know, team drivers have confirmed that everything's working normally again, so that's good to know. Up next on the list is the different versions. And this one comes up, this came up recently on a service ticket because a guy said that the app told him to update his OTA. And there's a little bit of terminology there. So I like to explain this in the way that I know it best. And it may not be technically firmware, software words, things like that, like if you design this stuff, what this means. But this is my take on it. The app has a version that you can check through the settings of the app. You go into the open up the app, go to settings, and then in about, you can see the app version as well as the database version. And those are the two main topics that you're going to see. If you ever open up your HW-Link V2 app and it says there's an update, you download that update, it confirms and analyzes all that data. It's kind of what those screens say. That's the database update. And a database update contains the various firmwares and setting updates for the speed controls individually that are inside of the app already. So like if a new speed control comes out, often there's a database update, or if there's been a firmware update for whatever reason on a particular model or group of models, there will be a database update to get the firmware into the app. And that's the only time the internet gets used. A lot of folks think that there has to be connected to the internet to do all this stuff. That's not the case at all. You can do this in airplane mode if you have all the stuff downloaded already. So, but those are the two main ones. And the app version won't often update by itself. So you go into settings, go to about, tap on the app version. It'll tell you if it's updated already or not. And then in a lot of situations, the safest thing to do is uninstall the app and reinstall it, do the database update, and then you'll know for sure that everything's kind of fresh and clean, so to speak. Next on the list is the OTA module firmware, and this is a little bit different. The OTA module itself, this is the Bluetooth module. It says OTA right on the face of it. We're going to talk about the different programmers here in just a second, but just to keep this at a glance, if you know you have the OTA, this will make this a little bit easier. That device has its own firmware, and that's a little trickier to get to. You open the app, connect to the OTA, and then you go into settings, then you go to Hold on, let me open this.
It's
real quick.
Settings on the bottom right.
Tell them,
and then setting a Bluetooth module.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then inside of there is the firmware for the actual OTA, and you can check for the update there. And that'll update the firmware of the OTA module itself. And this would apply to any of the Bluetooth connection devices that have that built into it. This is where you would update that Bluetooth segment, so to speak. So that never happens automatically. That and the app version typically don't happen automatically. The only thing that happens automatically, or you get asked if you want it, is that database update. So that's kind of the three big ones on the versions and the operating system stuff that we would run into the most. Did I miss anything? Is that it?
One other thing I want to chime in there is that when you shutting down your phone and restarting your phone are actually two different things now. So yes, so that's something to keep in mind. If you're running into an issue and you want to basically restart your phone kind of deal, there's whatever motion it is to bring up that menu on your phone, bring up the menu, and usually there's an option to reboot. And then there's an option to just shut down. So make sure you do the reboot, because when you do the reboot, it actually clears a bunch of the cache memory and stuff like that. So that way it's an actual reboot.
All the iPhone guys are like, this sounds like Android stuff.
Nope, there's a way to reboot iPhones too. I do know that.
There's a restart also, I think. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, you want to make sure you do a restart, not a don't just shut down and then power it back up kind of deal.
Awesome. Good to know.
Yep.
So, okay. So moving forward on my extensive list of items, next up is connectivity topics. This is one that's near and dear to mine and Mike's heart because it comes up on a semi-regular basis. Folks say they report that it doesn't want to connect. It doesn't stay connected. And a lot of it comes down to the way that digital signals work. There's like a little buffer zone immediately next to the antenna or the phone where there's like a dead zone and nothing happens. And so if you ever have your Bluetooth module sitting there and your phone's sitting like right next to it, you're actually more likely to have connection problems than if it's a couple feet away, you know, an arm's length type of deal.
Arm's length's a good thing. And especially when you're updating, keep the phone about an arm's length and don't move the phone around and don't let the screen lock.
Right. I like to put my phone in airplane mode during any sort of firmware updates to avoid getting a call. If you've ever visited us at the Hobbywing booth at the event, I have a phone that doesn't even connect to anything that I do for updates and stuff like that, just to make sure I don't break your speed control while I'm updating it at the race. Because if you do lose connection, you know, something gets a call, your phone does some goofy stuff, and it disconnects in the middle of a firmware update, it'll break the speed control, and sometimes you can't get it back. Often, the way to try to fix it, you try to update it again. It'll either take right away. The secondary method is to use one of the LCD programming devices hardwired to a Windows computer using the HW USB link program. We can talk about that more a little bit at the end. But to kind of force it in, somehow it works a little bit different than the wireless one. But even then, I've seen situations where that won't bring the speed control back. But I have seen it where it's every once in a while it does. So that's kind of the only backup method there.
If you also have your lock screen set to a really, like the screen off stuff set to a really short time, like under 5 minutes kind of deal, make sure you every now and then just tap the screen to make sure it doesn't shut off.
Right. Most of the newer versions of the speed controls, like say it's got a G2 or G3 in the name. That's not even true. G2S XR10s update pretty quickly, probably 1 to 2 minutes. Anything older than that in the XR10 series is closer to 4 or 5 minutes from my experience over the last couple months. So just something to keep in mind when you're sitting down to do this stuff. you're trying to get it updated before a qualifier to go through tech or something like that, better be prepared and double check all that stuff. And on that topic, for you racers, they might be thinking, what about this blinky mode stuff? New style of blinky mode racing is rapid blinks, a pause, rapid blinks, and a pause, and that repeats over and over again. And typically that is on the most recent firmware listing in any of the XR10 series of speed controls. That's most common for like 10 skill racing and stuff like that. So it applies to all of them for the most part. I say that, I think not the Just Stock though. It only applied to the stock spec and the XR10 Pro, not the Just Stock because it didn't have the softening stuff. So the Just Stock is still, I believe, same blinky method. I'll make sure to update you guys on that on the next episode to make sure I know what I'm talking about. The
Make another list,
right? The things I didn't know when we were talking. The next one that I have on my list is the error code abnormal modulation is what I haven't noticed. That's what it says at the beginning. And this can mean a couple different things. Most commonly, when I run into it, it's the phone's firm operating system itself not being updated. So disconnect everything, power down the module, and then run the update on the phone itself, the phone's operating system. That takes care of that abnormal modulation communication error more times than not. The other one that I run into is that there's some damage to the OTA for some reason. The OTA has like a busted antenna wire or has some sort of other shock damage to it that makes it not work anymore. So there has been some physical damage topics where that module just doesn't work on anything. I've been able to test a couple of them type of deal. And every once in a while, I do find one that's very, very old OTA firmware, and you got to run the OTA firmware update. And we talked about that in the beginning. You go settings and then settings of the Bluetooth module, and you can check for the update there. Every once in a while, that'll take care of it too. But those are the topics. That's kind of the only error, I think, that comes up more often than just turn it off, turn it back on, and everything works fine. This is one that'll catch you out a little bit and make you a little bit frustrated. So, you got anything else on that one? I think that's pretty much it.
No, I think that's it for that one, too.
Yeah.
There's one for that. You're on the abnormal modulation one. There is one other issue I've seen where if you have an older speed controller and you're connecting a new OTA to it, you will get that if the firmware is really, really old too. I've seen that.
So you might have to get an LCD box, get the speed control halfway updated, like go a couple steps up, and then you'll be able to use the OTA after that.
That's
good. Yep. Okay. Good one. Yeah. Next on my list is Wi-Fi Express versus the OTA. Now, I've had people say that I'm using the Wi-Fi Express or that I'm using the Wi-Fi, but they have an OTA module, or they say that they're using the OTA, but they have a Wi-Fi Express module. That's fine. Confusion happens. But there is a very significant difference. The Wi-Fi Express is the original kind of little dongle that we had that worked with the first generation of XE Run speed controls. OTA came out after that with the Bluetooth connectivity, and the reason being was we needed more data to flow faster so that stuff wouldn't time out and do goofy stuff. That was the way I understood it. And because of that, the Wi-Fi Express can't really be used on a lot of the newer speed controls. It just sometimes it'll connect, work a little bit, or sometimes it'll work a few times and not. It's kind of finicky with the newer speed controls. So my general rule of thumb, look at the face of the device, and you can see the name on it and the color of the wires. The Wi-Fi Express has the red, white, and black wires. The OTA has all black wires. And then the names are different on the faces of the devices as well. But general rule of thumb is anything that came out after the Wi-Fi Express was discontinued, so like 5 years ago, I want to say, probably isn't going to be supported by the Wi-Fi Express. If it does work, it's not going to work as nearly as well or as quickly or as smoothly as the OTA would. So your Wi-Fi Express, you may be like, oh man, this is okay. OTA is going to work a whole lot better for sure, type of deal. So the OTA should work with all of the older speed controls for the most part, unless they're like on original firmware, haven't seen an update in their entire life. So you might have to get a little tricky and use an LCD box to get that update, as we just mentioned. But for the most part, OTA should replace everything that the Wi-Fi Express could ever hope to do. Next up is the OTA has data logs in it. And if your speed control supports data logging in itself and it supports the live data out, you can plug the OTA into the speed control, drive the car, And after the first 10 seconds of throttle on operation, the OTA will start to do a full-blown data recording session, and you'll get a graph with able to turn on the various features to look at things individually. So you can turn the data line off, if you will. And this can be helpful for, well, if I need to tell you what it's helpful for, you're probably not interested in data logging. But a lot of people don't know that the OTA itself can be used as an additional data logging device to get you that full-blown graph. It is a little tricky to get to view those files. It's not, you go to live data, not data logs, when you connect through the app. And then while the live data is on and active, you click on history, and then you can view the data logs that are on the OTA itself. It'll bring up a screen that gives you all the options. You can pick which ones you want to look at.
Excuse me.
And see that on your screen. It is a little bit easier on a tablet, but because it's a bigger screen, obviously, but you can zoom in and turn off different lines of information so you can kind of pinpoint on your run. It's pretty straightforward to pick up the straightaway because you can see where the full throttle points are. Look at the current. If the speed control supports current, you can see your amp draw over the course of the run. You can see voltages on the fly, you know, kind of like a live replay of the race, so, or the run, so to speak. And that is... It'll save several minutes of data. It kind of depends on how active everything is for the total time, but it's way more than enough for a battery pack type of deal. And if you run it throughout the day, it'll save multiple files so you can look at them all at the end of the day. So pretty cool stuff, something that gets overlooked that people don't know is a bonus feature kind of the OTA. The other devices that we have that have Bluetooth built into them, the Tunalyzer and the multifunction LCD box, LCD program box Pro, G3, that has Bluetooth built into it, what we call a built-in OTA. It does not do the data recording. You're not going to drive around with the device in your car, so those guys don't do that. So that's that on the OTA data log. The next one that I think a lot of people may overlook is the live data. It's kind of like telemetry, but not really, because the range. Bluetooth only has a range of, 10, 30 feet, something like that? 10 meters, 30 feet.
Or so. Yeah.
And that's under ideal conditions. So the live data is something that you can use to open the app, have your car sitting on the table in front of you, and look at what the speed control sees as far as the voltage, current, throttle position, RPM, even the temperatures of the speed control and temperatures of the motor. If you're using a hobbywing motor, because the hobbywing motors have a temp sensor inside that gives information to the speed control. And you can, you know, operate the throttle. The car responds. You can turn the wheels and look at what that does to amp draw. Just, you know, do a lot of basic checks on the bench. And if you're a very clever individual, you can kind of treat that a bit of as a benchtop dyno, because you can do that to run the motor a little bit. If you had something to set the car on to do a little bit of put it under load, so you're not just free revving the motor type of thing, you can get some basic information out of there to do some simple comparisons. So the live data stuff. A lot of people, I think they want to drive around and look at that on the phone or have somebody there. And in theory, you could do that. I've heard of guys like the guy will stand in the middle of the track and look at the data as he drives around. That sort of thing is kind of cool. So there are some options there. So
depends on the track layout too.
Right. Right. If you have a really small track, it's totally doable. So next on my list is other Bluetooth devices. I got the multifunction LCD Program Box Pro, what we call the Program Box G3, and the Tunalyzer. These guys both have full-featured Bluetooth built into them for speed control tuning and updating, and as a bonus item that they can do, use the app to do speed control tuning and or updates. So multifunction LCD Program Box Pro just got announced and should start shipping in quantity very, very soon. I know the first batch or so was kind of tiny, so a few of them got out there, and now we have our full-blown, you know, filler of the orders, so to speak. So check your local hobby shops. That new programming box will be available very soon with the super easy to use scroll wheel and the built-in Bluetooth. And if you're looking for another excuse to get a Tunalyzer, if you thought maybe motor tuning was up your alley and you need a programmer, the Tunalyzer has that built into it too, so a good, you know, bonus item on the Tunalyzer as well. All right, so next up, I have LCD Programming Box G2 and G1. The previous versions of the LCD Program Box, or the multifunction LCD Program Box, are distinguishable two ways. And much like with the Wi-Fi Express and the OTA, there's this caveat where the older version won't work on a lot of the newer speed controls. On the face of either of these boxes, there is lettering, the label, if you will, that says the name of the product. And the first giveaway is the color of that lettering. Not the screen, but the lettering on the actual case itself. The white lettering is the older one. That's like the G1 box. It'll work with the older speed controls, but it won't work with most of the newer generations of XE Run stuff that came out after that device was discontinued. The newer box, the G2 box, has blue lettering on the face of it. And then the other giveaway is the type of USB plug that they have on the side. The newer box has a USB type C. That's the one that can plug in both directions. And the older version has the micro USB, which is the one that either the tapered one that only fits one direction. There's even an older version than the G1 with no G. And that one has the old mini USB, which is the one with the little squiggly sides on it. So I'm surprised I even know that, if I'm honest. And then I do have a note here just to on that same note, Wi-Fi Express, same sign of situation. It doesn't really work with the speed controls that came out after it was discontinued. So if you pick up like a G2, G2S, G3 speed control, probably not going to work with the Wi-Fi Express, just to keep that in mind when you're doing your shopping. All right. So, Mike, that's my entire list of V2 app topics as well as programming device topics. But I do want to add on using of the USB link along with the LCD program box, because there's a couple bullet items that I just popped into my head that are pretty common. When you are using the LCD program box to act as the link between your Windows computer, it's got to be a Windows computer running Windows, not emulated or on a Mac. It doesn't work the same.
On a Mac, yeah.
Yeah, right. We've had some people tell us, oh, we're having all these problems, and we're like, are you using a real Windows computer? They're like, no. We're like, oh, well, that's why. I tried on a real Windows computer, and then everything works fine. So, pro tip. But the speed control, when that's connected through the box and then the USB goes to the computer, the speed control still needs a battery connected to it. That's a big one that gets overlooked and causes some people some grief because they think the USB is able to power the speed control and do all that. That's not the case. Speed control has to have a battery power, you know, connected to it. So, other than that, that stuff's pretty straightforward. The one that I run into a lot is that if you've ever had a Windows computer and you plug in a new USB device that's never been plugged into it, it makes that Windows noise, and then Windows gives you a notification that's installing some drivers. And then often, I'd say 99% of the time when I do it, there's another tone, it's kind of that same tone again, and there's another little window that pops up that says your new USB device is installed and ready to use. Sometimes it happens pretty fast. Sometimes it doesn't happen that fast. But if that doesn't happen when you plug in your LCD programming box to your computer, it's not going to work. You got to like make sure that happens. And 9 times out of 10, if it doesn't happen, it's because it's not a data cable and you want to just try a different USB cable. Yes, even if you're using the one that came with your LCD programming box, just try a different one because it usually fixes it, makes that little notification pop up and everything works like it's supposed to.
Ooh, I got one on that topic.
Okay, please do.
With the LCD multifunction program box, it is also a battery checker.
Ah, thank you.
One thing not to do with that battery checker is that if you have the box plugged into your ESC and it is being powered by the ESC, do not check your battery while it's connected to the ESC. You will fry things.
One power input at a time. That's a good. Yes. That's a good tip. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yep. So, just a reminder, friendly reminder.
Awesome. I like that.
Take a break.
So, okay. Mike, do you know the real reason that people actually listen to RC stuff?
Hang on, I got a spreadsheet here with all these answers on it. Scroll down a little bit. Ah, free RC stuff.
It's the free RC stuff. Each and every episode, we give away free RC stuff to a lucky winner. And this week's winner is Mr. Will Edens from Covington, Texas. Congratulations, Will. That's two winners named Will in a row. That's pretty cool. Will's in the regular RC cars as well as drones. So we'll get you dialed in on some free RC stuff. Well, keep an eye on your email if you haven't heard from us already. Mike, how do regular folks who haven't already... So that's the other thing. We'll get to that here in a second. But how do folks enter to win free RC stuff?
You send an email. It's to RC stuff at hobbywing.com. Make sure you type out your email address, your name, your email address, your shirt size. The email address is for Charlie, so he doesn't forget to send that along. And then what kind of RC stuff you're into, a fun little RC story you have.
Or not. You don't have to tell the story if you don't want to. Yeah. I like the stories.
You got questions. You want us to bring somebody on to the show. You want to tell Charlie how good of a job he's doing. You know.
Don't do that. Oh, and your phone number. Leave your phone number on there, too. We need it for the tracking. But then you can win some free RC stuff. We do a system, like I said, each and every episode. So send us an email. Let us know what you think. Got thoughts, questions, comments, or concerns. Again, that email address is rcstuff@hobbywing.com. Speaking of interviews, we have a gambit of new team members that have been signed on to Hobbywing this year on both of the ground and airborne side. And we will be having pilots and pro racers on the show very, very soon. Adam Drake, Brock Champlin, Ryan Cavallari, Spencer Rivkin, Ryan Mayfield, they're all scheduling dates to sit down with Maddie, Mike, and I to discuss the racing world at large. And Mike has built a very strong drone team for Hobbywing this year. We're going to talk to lots of those pilots as well. But We can't talk about those guys yet because the cat's not out of the bag. The official announcements have not been made. But stay tuned. Those guys will be coming up on future episodes of RC Stuff powered by Hobbywing. Next up, I have are the events. Mike and I are both off to two events kind of at the same time. I get to go out to Trackside in Wisconsin for the Indoor National Series that J Concepts puts on, and I'll be out there Friday through Sunday. Matt's actually going to be there Wednesday through Sunday Monday actually, because they fly back on Monday to do race support and stuff like that. So if you're in, you know, the greater Milwaukee area in Wisconsin, want to come check out some very awesome indoor racing, look up Trackside Hobbies in Brookfield, Wisconsin. It's probably like 20 minutes outside of Milwaukee, and you can come spectating totally free and encouraged. You can stop by, meet me, meet Maddie, ask questions, stuff like that. Maddie G is our motorman who is not on the show with us this week because he's airborne right now on an airplane. In case you're wondering, I'm not confusing Mike with Maddie. And Mike, where are you going this week?
Next week, technically. This week, sorry. I'm actually headed back to visit my parents first. Oh, I haven't seen them in 2 years. So, you know.
Good for you.
Kind of, it's about time. So, gotta go see my mom's. And then I fly down to Florida, the No Quarter Ranch in Citrus Springs. With Mark and Mary, exactly. Oh, wait till you see the trophies for this race that Mark.
Awesome.
He's like, I want to give you guys trophies for this race, and let's put it this way: I don't think anybody's flying home with any of the trophies.
Oh no.
We kind of budgeted some. We had to set aside a shipping budget. Make sure the winners can get the trophies.
It was Florida. They were firearms because Florida.
No, that's about what I'm going to say right there. But yeah, we'll be racing pretty much Saturday. We'll be doing some practice on Saturday. We might test the live stream on Saturday. And then we should be live streaming on Sunday as well, pending no internet issues. That's kind of a big one at the ranch, unfortunately. But, you know, we'll make it work one way or another. And then
I have a YouTube channel. It's Street League, LEGUE.
LEAGUE.
Sorry.
League.
I know.
Wait, did I spell that wrong?
I thought I had it. I typed it out. Right. I just didn't look at it.
Now I'm second guessing myself.
LEAGUE.
Okay, good. I thought there was an A in there.
You can just look up. Is it Street League FPV?
Nope. StreetLeague.io is the website. And then we're Street League Spectrum Racing on YouTube. And then same thing on Instagram.
Fantastic.
Because there is a skateboarding Street League as well. So,
sick.
Yeah. Not to be confused. Drones and skateboarding, you know, two different kind of things.
Both very awesome, though. I was an aspiring skateboarder when I was a kid, and then I realized RC was way safer, and I wasn't going to break my ankles. So. I have a note here on the ambassador program, and just go back an episode. We talked about that, and I am glad to see that the ambassador nominations are still rolling in. So just roll back one episode and you can listen to the ambassador program topics and get yourself informed on all of that stuff, because we're still doing that. We're making it happen. But I think that brings us to the end of my entire list, Mike. Did you have anything to add for us, this wonderful RC Stuff podcast?
Cali Ames is fast.
So like Shames. Good time.
Exactly.
Well, I guess that's going to do it, folks. As always, thanks for tuning in. Another episode of RC Stuff powered by Hobbywing. We will see you all next time.
Bye.